Well, hey, everyone. Welcome to The Boundless Show. I am Lisa Anderson, here to guide you through a conversation for the next, I don't know how many minutes. It depends on how long I want to ramble. Okay. But we've got a lot of fun different segments coming up for you. Later on in the show, Candace Waters is here to address a question about sharing a hotel room with the opposite sex. Is it okay? Can you save money? What? We'll see what Candace has to say about that. Then for our culture segment, we have Ron Deal here to talk about help for dealing with divorce, especially if your parents divorced when you were a young adult and living on your own. And how do you just process reconciling relationships as a young adult? I mean, I think young adults still feel they have to choose sides and get into weirdness, and you do holidays and you have to honor your parents, and what advice are you taking from them? So fortunately, Ron is the guy to address that. He is in the space all the time. For our roundtable, we have a fabulous group assembled. We have Eric, Kat, and Tricia here. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. We are going to talk about divorce and its effect on families, specifically on the adult children of divorce. And really kind of, you know, this is interesting because we have talked on the show before about you're like dating a divorced person or you've been divorced or whatever. But this is going to broaden the family spectrum and talk about the extended family, how divorce in your own life has affected your own views of dating, marriage, your ability to do marriage well. We talk about that a lot on the show of like, did you see your parents and think you were going to be a failure? I mean, so I really appreciate you guys being willing to come to the table because all of you have unique experiences of how divorce affected you. And three of us, Tricia's married now. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to get down and dirty into that playing out on the other side of the altar.
Yeah.
Anyway, so let's go ahead and just let's open it up and just say, I mean, how your memories of divorce affecting yourself. I mean, some of you, were you pretty young when your parents got divorced? I know you were, yes. Eric. You were small.
Yeah, I was about 1 year old.
Okay.
So I
don't
never
even know, remember your parents.
No,
together.
I see them together now at different functions, and I'm like, whoa, that's weird. I could never picture you two together.
Okay, so that's weird. How about you, Kat?
I was about 8 or 9 when that happened.
Okay. And you've actually walked through divorce several times.
Well, one divorce and 2 deaths.
Okay. Wow.
So mom was on her third and she just lost her third husband.
Oh my goodness. Mm, yeah. Okay. So that's a lot of marriage and remarriage and okay.
And I was 15.
Okay.
So I was
oof. The teenagers.
Yeah, the teenagers. Mm-hmm. That definitely messed me up.
Okay.
Thanks, Mom and Dad.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So did you what was it like growing up in that space? So, I mean, Tricia, you remember life before divorce and after divorce. Did things just crazily shift for you, or did your parents try to provide stability in the midst of it? Or,
well, I think the big thing was back then in the 80s and the 90s, it was you should divorce. It helps the kids.
Oh,
it's better
okay.
for the kids if you divorce.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Which is such a huge lie. It's harder to be divorced and try to share kids. I don't know how people do that. I know it takes a lot of communication. But with my parents, it was, it seemed like their marriage was always on the kind of the brink of divorce. There were really good times and then the not so good times. So, when I was 15, I knew it was coming. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was old enough to see the fights were louder and more often and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. How about you, Kat?
Similar mm-hmm. story in that, but a little bit earlier in time, my mother and father would argue a lot. So we would be in the midst of that trying to break them up with the fights. But I think she also received a lot of peer pressure at that time. She was a product of the 60s and 70s women's lib mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. And she just was getting bad advice like, yes, it is better for the children, get rid of them. Mm-hmm. But being a product of that is completely different because I became the notorious latchkey kid mm-hmm. where there was no supervision and you could get into mischief. Thank goodness I didn't get into that much mischief, but I could have. Mm-hmm. I mean, depending on where I lived and I had an older sister who kind of became a second mom, so that was a whole different dynamic going on. But there were ramifications that even kind of like a bad piece of luggage that keeps following you around.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Eric, what were the ramifications for you kind of growing up as that being your normal?
Yeah, it was the normal. I was trying to think as I was listening here, when did I realize that this was different? Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure exactly when, probably before I was 10. It was common in the 80s, mm-hmm. in the 70s and the 80s, for parents to get a divorce. A lot of my friends, their parents were divorced as well. Yeah, it was the normal life. I remember my mom, she dated a lot. She's actually been married 3 times as well. Mm. Now, thank God, she's been married for about 23 years.
Mm. Wow.
But it was rough. Mm-hmm. It was rough not having a dad around. I just never understood why. Like, there was a big lonely part in my life, and it took a long time to understand that that was lack of a father.
Mm-hmm. Now, was your dad just not even in the picture at all, or did he come and go? Or
he was, and he still is. He moved to Missouri, so I was in Indiana, about 400 or 500 miles away, when I was about 6 years old. So he was in the picture, and we'd see each other maybe once a month, maybe once every few months. So he was in the picture, but not in the picture.
Okay. Okay. You know, it's interesting because one thing that made us think to discuss this topic was there was a New York Times article, Never Too Old to Hurt from Your Parents' Divorce. And we often, when we talk about it, whether it's the news or culturally or sociologists, it's always the effect on small children. And what does this mean? You know, tearing the home apart and kids being latchkey kids, or, you know, with mom 1 week, dad this week, mom weekend, you know, mom during the week, dad on weekends, and all that transfer. But I think a lot of people forget that as you grow into adulthood, the effects still remain, or they even change. And so let's talk about just generally, when you think of your identity as a person, how was your world rocked? I mean, take away, because I'm going to ask you separately about how it affected your dating and, Tricia, your marriage, but just your identity as a person, your worth, your, you know, all that played into, you know, did you even take into young adulthood this, I could have done something differently, or how could I have affected this, or how could I, you know, I've even talked to 20-somethings who've been like, I've tried to get my folks back together, and if they could just make it happen and do, you know, what did it look like for identity with you, and where were kind of key benchmark life points as far as that played out?
With me, I was considered like my dad's favorite. And so with my dad out of the picture, I was in the minority. And so I felt like, and I don't know, even at that young age, if I really understood it until later when I'm doing a lot of processing, but that I tried to perform better and to be accepted by my mom. So I think I worked harder to be accepted by her. And then that was a reason I wasn't attracted to doing a lot of mischief outside of the home, because I wanted to be like her. And
do you think she set that expectation, or that was just you putting? Okay,
yeah. So I think there was a little bit there.
Okay.
And I think it also impacted the trajectory of my life, in that my dad didn't keep in touch with me. I would reach out to him, but he was going through his own crisis. So, but I felt like, okay, I've been not accepted by him. And then my stepfather, who I considered also a father for 20 years until he passed away, was not a strong father figure. And so there's been a repeated theme in my life where men have just not been strong enough. But yet I am, you know, trying to not be too strong, but I was forced to be strong.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, good points.
Well, and for me, it was, there was always this tension, because within a few months of my parents' divorce, I got my driver's license. And so the understanding, or, you know, it was never said, but I would have to make sure that I went down to see my dad, and he lived 2 hours away. So, you know, picture a 16-year-old. I can't even imagine that now with my own kids, but a 16-year-old driving down the highway going to my dad's. And if I didn't, do a certain amount of things, if I didn't call him, you know, enough, or there's always that guilt of, oh my goodness, I didn't call him, and so now that I call him, he's going to give me all these guilt trips, and you know, and being a 16-year-old, and you know, being doing 16-year-old things, football games and fun stuff like that, you still, you've got that adult responsibility of maintaining a communication channel, which, you know, looking back, I'm like, what were my parents thinking? You know, but they did the best they could, and my mom was always supportive. Neither one of them, for their part, neither one of them tore the other one down. So I really, really appreciated that. And especially looking back, I appreciate that so much.
Yeah. And speaking in, Eric, specifically to what you referenced, you know, to not having really a consistent father figure, what was your experience then?
That was hard. I didn't realize how hard it was until I became a young man and then after college. Yeah, and back to the identity thing, their identity crisis was that there was none, or trying to find my identity as a young man became much more work, because I believe one of the roles of the father is to help shape that young man into a man. So not having that example around, not having someone to speak into my life during my most formidable years was a challenge. So thank God that I met him. Thank God for the other young men in my life who read books by John Eldridge and other guys, just searching for that identity. So I am thankful to God that I have learned a lot in the process, but it became much more work to do that.
Okay. How then has divorce, past and just negotiating the relationships now, affected the way you saw relationships with the opposite sex? And how did that play into it? Whether, you know, in dating and even in relating to the opposite sex?
Well, for me, it was, I remember very distinctly at 19, looking at the men I'd been dating and going, I am dating a man just like my dad.
Wow.
There, so I just stopped dating. I was like, I'm not going to make good choices, so I'm going to stop dating. And that was just, I appreciate that was a realization, so that I didn't end up in a marriage with somebody who wouldn't respect me, that would have a wandering soul. He couldn't settle down. It was like there was, with my dad, he just couldn't find a place where he fit. And so he had, when he died, he had four wives, and he had a girlfriend. He had two girlfriends. And so, anyway, it was just, you just kind of look at that and go, I cannot commit myself to that kind of a relationship. That's
okay.
I think it impacted my trust level, and I think most women would say that from a divorced family. It does impact, even if the divorce was when you were a young kid, or if you were older in life and they divorced, because God designed the man and the woman to be together for life, there's something in you that it rocked that foundation. So it's like, okay, I can't trust that you will be true. And so I didn't become a Christian until I was 29. So the relationships that I had, the boyfriends that I had, I would always be so self-sufficient. And I think that played into not having a strong relationship with them, and that why they broke down is because I would not let that wall down. And thank goodness it just brought me to my knees by the time I was 29, and I was able to accept Christ. But I know that is something that, because it happened so long ago, it's something that I have to work on even to this day. So,
Yeah, I didn't become a Christian until I was 21, and not having a dad around. And I, you know, my mom tried her best, and yet I was never taught how to treat a woman, and not being Christian made bad choices. And I think the effects of the divorce also, I've just struggled with trust issues. Mm. And thinking that any relationship problem, oh, that's going to mean a divorce, and that's going to be pain, because I've seen the pain that my mom's been through, and even my dad too. And also, as I've read, which I think is really true with me, that children of divorced parents sometimes look for perfection in spouses. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's why I'm still single.
I don't know. Find the perfect person, this
find the perfect person, because not finding a perfect person means, you might have to face that ultimate pain of a divorce. So whenever I have been dating and there's issues, sometimes I magnify those, blow them out of proportion, go to extremes. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, no, that's good insight. Tricia, now speaking from a place of being married and having kids, you had to walk through some stuff with your husband. Really, of, you know, were these things that you, tell us a little bit about what happened, like what were a couple of the bedrock ones, and then are they things like, did you see any signs heading into marriage, or was this like, oh my goodness, I cannot believe this was just sourced out of issues with being a divorce? I mean,
well, and something that I went to counseling before we got married, because I knew there would be things. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had been working at Focus on the Family for a couple of years at that point, and so one of the things that came out of that was I made a vow that I will never trust any man to take care of me, because my dad left and left us without any protection. You know, there's a protection that I felt with my dad, even though he wasn't protective. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I can explain that anymore, but just basically, I'm going to make sure if he leaves, I'm going to be able to take care of me and whatever kids we have.
Yeah.
Which is a horrible thing.
Yeah.
And I still got married, crazy me. But thankfully, I have a very patient husband who knew going in my past, and a very wise friend of mine said one time that my husband would pay for the sins of my father. And that was so good, because going in, Brian and I talked about that. And for years, Brian would just get so angry with my dad. But specifically, there was one, it was the February after we got married. So we'd been married about 10 months. And I sat in our living room debating whether I was going to leave or not. Mm-hmm. And Brian was in the bedroom praying that I wouldn't leave. And that was so hard, because I think we both walked into marriage thinking I was going to leave. And I didn't. And from that point on, it was like, I'm not leaving. We made it through, I don't even remember what the argument was, which is so crazy. It wasn't big, but it was, he probably stepped on my toes or made me feel, you know, insecure or whatever. But it was just kind of that's my reaction. I'm going to leave. And I didn't. And we've had rough patches over the last 14 years. But there have been points where Brian's like, I really thought you were going to leave. And I was like, I didn't leave that February. I'm not leaving. We've been through too much. And so, but that, you know, just that craziness that you just go, it would have been so much better, you know, if my parents
had tried. It's like you think, oh, I'll be able to separate that from this. But then you realize, oh my goodness, I'm actually going to make a decision here based on what a person totally not even in this relationship.
Right. You know, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Wow. Okay. Well, just last question here as we finish up. What would be your advice to those in our audience who are living out, you know, they're young adults, living out relationships with their parents? How do you, What would be your recommendation to them to relate to their parents, love their parents well when maybe trust has been broken, when maybe they feel like they didn't have great examples, or they're being forced to because of just dysfunction and whatever, you know, parents are trying to drive a wedge between them and the other parent or what, you know, I mean, how did you guys negotiate mm-hmm. that space of just walking it out and living out of your faith in light of that, especially after, you know, coming to Christ and knowing that that was, you know, the thing you needed to do?
I think for me, I'd say three things. One, practically with your parents, make sure that there's good boundaries as far as them not speaking negatively about one another. Mm-hmm. Two, say, get some help, talk with someone, mm-hmm. go to counseling. Mm-hmm. I was privileged to be mentored by a professor of family therapy for 15 years. So I got free therapy, I think, for 15 years.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was great. And then three, to let God define you, to really let him do that heart work, mm-hmm. just telling you who you are. And I think this is an area where the enemy likes to come in and say, well, you'll never get married, or you'll always have marital problems, or whatever it is, and to really let God replace those lies with his truth.
Mm-hmm. Good idea.
The number one would be forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
I my heart breaks for those that don't have a relationship.
Yeah, you can't keep a relationship with your divorced parents, and then if they have remarriage, the forgiveness aspect is so huge, because most of the time the kids don't get a say in who the parents marry.
Mm-hmm.
100% of the time, I would say, but I don't know. I'm sure there are other statistics. Yeah. But, you know, it's just that you didn't get to choose their partner, mm-hmm. and they are not blood to you. They are not, mm-hmm. you're not from them, I guess. And so there's all these different tensions and just people being different mm-hmm. than I, when Brian and I first got married, I'm like, your parents have their crazy mm-hmm. and my parents have my crazy, mm-hmm. are crazy mm-hmm. and neither one of them makes sense mm-hmm. to the other person. Mm-hmm. And that's how it is with step families too, is
right.
you just don't get it. But the forgiveness aspect is just huge, because you're going to get your toes stepped on and pain's going to happen. So,
yeah. Can I just want to add my bit. Yeah. Definitely the forgiveness part. Once, I think a big part for me for moving forward was not judging my parents anymore and really seeing them in myself, and that part of them is in me. And then the temptation is to judge your parents. But that point where mm-hmm. I really started to forgive them, because I really believe that unless you forgive your parents, that you are bound to repeat it.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, you guys, I thank you for giving a glimpse into your own stories, because I think this is going to help our audience process maybe some questions that they haven't even raised in their own story, things that they thought were their normal, or just they're like, everyone must deal with this or whatever. And to look into that, I think is going to be super helpful and help them start towards healing. I want to give you all just an FYI that you can go to focusonthefamily.com and you can actually look up, first of all, there's resources, there's advice there, or feel free to give a shout out to our counseling department, because mm-hmm. they will get you started on a course of, you know, what to start processing. You know, they'll listen to you, they will pray for you, and they can even refer you to someone who's legit in your area. We have an extensive network of folks. So focusonthefamily.com, check it out, or you can call us at 1-800 the letter A and the word family, and they will get you connected to that as well. So Eric, Kat, and Tricia, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks.